Morning, everybody. Wow, it is packed out in here. Look around for a minute. I'm not sure you want the summer to end. I think that's what's being communicated here. My name is Phil Tuttle. As was mentioned, I get to fill in for Lon Allison, and I appreciate that we've already prayed for Lon. I encourage you to continue to do that. He's got a tough battle ahead of him, and it's an honor to be here in his place, but I sure wish that he could be here teaching the Word this week. Gifted communicator. We have been studying together. We started Friday night. We're looking in the four chapters of Ruth, but this morning we're going to do something different than that. So if you've been with us, we'll finish up tonight and tomorrow morning. If you haven't, go ahead and jump in. You'll still catch the overall flow of the book. We'd love to have you join us then. My wife and I were here with Walk Through the Bible week 9, and we prayed. She's like, let's pray we get to come back in 2 years. And I said, okay, let's do. And I don't know if I mumbled or what happened, but God heard 2 weeks. I said 2 years. So I hope the two-year thing still works out too. If you have your Bible this morning, please open it up to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. It's a story that for many of us is probably familiar. I want to take a fresh look at it this morning. The music at Maranatha is so good. I don't know if it's by design or not. It's probably by design because Gary doesn't do a lot of things haphazardly. I've picked that up through the years. But the number of songs that we sing that focus on the return of Jesus Christ, His second coming, that's a theme that's just not emphasized enough in the vast majority in churches of our land. So I sure have appreciated that. Love the quartet. I'm a little bit concerned as Gary introduced all the parts. We had Dan on the end. I'm like, where did they capture the bullfrog? Was that in the channel or was that out in Lake Michigan? He lives in octaves that I only visit with really bad bronchitis, and that's his native territory there. When Walk Through the Bible resources are voiced over into Russian, the guy who voices over my voice has that same voice. And I'm like, it's my face, and I'm talking, and it's like, maduska, 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 maduska. I'm like, if I had had that voice, my children would have never disobeyed once. Why, Lord? And then we divvied up the parts. You know, we had Diane singing tenor and the other woman singing alto. I'm like, where I come from, that means, Gary, that sticks you with soprano. But you didn't name it, so I'm not sure what was going on there. We've had a fantastic weekend, and now as we look to God's Word, let's ask for His help. Father, thank You so much for the privilege of opening Your Word for all of these people this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would not just be hearers of Your Word this morning, but doers also, that what we hear would cause us to live differently, just like the testimony we just heard from the good folks at Tactica. So Father, please open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears, so that we can receive truth from You, Lord. And filter my words so that what comes across and what is heard and what is remembered is what would be on Your heart today, not just something that's my opinion. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 2, we're looking at something called Mission Possible, and I hardly need to talk to Maranatha about mission. For how many years is it, 83 or something? Maranatha has remained on mission. Do you know how many ministries that start out well 80 some years later are still on track? It's tragically few, actually. All you have to do is look at the Ivy League colleges, which were most of them originally started to train men for ministry, and they're some of the most anti-God places in our country. Not all of them, and there's exceptions, and there's good professors there to be sure, but it's hard to stay on track long term. When we move it from the organizational view to the personal view, it's hard to stay on track mission-wise too, individually. Is there anybody in the room here today who has a loved one or a neighbor or a friend that could really use a fresh touch from Jesus Christ? I mean, somebody that you're burdened. Maybe it's even somebody that used to come here in the summers with you, and this summer they were just too busy because their values have shifted somehow. We're burdened for other people. We want to have them hear the gospel for the first time because we know it has the power to change a life for eternity, yes, and also eternal life begins while we're still here. And we're burdened for these men and women, but oftentimes we feel paralyzed by that. It's not just people coming to know Christ for the first time, because God has a bigger agenda than just populating heaven. Jesus wants to make disciples. Christ followers, His hands, His feet, who do His work. And that's what Maranatha is all about. It's all about the mission. But so many times we can look at the needs and we're overwhelmed by the needs or the lack of response of especially those closest to us. That seems to hurt the most. And we can lose hope in this mission. And I'm here to encourage you this morning that it's just not that complicated, and to take us back to basics. This message, if it had a real title, I would call it Lessons from the Stretcher Bearers. You know that Ryan and Gretchen and Stan, others with their ministry, they minister with police officers. They also minister with first responders. And this was not the message I was planning on bringing, but when I met you guys, I'm like, I know like six people at least are going to love this message. And not only that, but I'm sure it's going to get preached in Latin America, and you have my blessing. Just make it better than I'm going to do it today. That's my only request. Five lessons from the stretcher bearers, these people who bring their friend to Jesus. Let's jump right into the story, and I'm going to ask you to get actively involved with me today a little bit with this. It says, when he, that's Jesus, returned to Capernaum, that's his ministry headquarters after his rejection in Nazareth. Some of you have been to Capernaum on the north edge of the Sea of Galilee. Maybe you went on Maranatha's trip. And that's where Jesus establishes his base of ministry. A number of his disciples were called from that area right around there. So he's in Capernaum, and after some days it was reported that he was at home. Many were gathered together. I'm not surprised. In chapter 1, Mark has recorded for us that Jesus is performing miracles, healings. He even shows his authority over demonic forces, and he delivers a man who's been oppressed deeply in his very soul. So Jesus, the traveling rabbi, is in town. Many were gathered together so that there was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. So you get the picture. It's not a building this big like the tabernacle. It's not even the size of the Skinner room. It's probably about a third of the Skinner room. So if you've been over there, picture a room about that size. Picture a room in a modest house. They believed in an open concept back then. They had no interior walls. You know, it's very fashionable today. Now we tear down walls when we buy old houses that are all divided up. So here they are, and if you want to think of it, see these first four poles here? Let's pretend that it's about the area of these first four poles. So here you are in the house, and you're crammed in here pretty good. But you were coming to hear either Lon or Phil this morning. If Jesus were here, you'd squeeze a few more people in these benches. I can guarantee that. Not only that, but the rest of you would be, you know, looking in the windows or be outside. I saw the concert last night. I took a picture of all the line out here, and I sent it to my wife, and I said, the hunger for God's word and the story of Ruth is amazing at Maranatha. I didn't even have a chance to feel guilty about that, because she fired back and she goes, wow, from the lighting, it looks like it's Saturday night and the Collinsworths might be in town. And I'm like, man, 39 years of marriage, it's just harder to pull it off than it used to be. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Rick Warren, you have the misfortune this morning of being one of the few names of folks I've met here who I actually remember your name. I remember dozens and dozens of faces, and I'm terrible at names, but something about the name Rick Warren strikes a familiar chord with me. Rick, will you come up here, please? He's so happy with me right now. I walk through the Bible, they have turned my name into a verb. They call this being tuttled. And you have been tuttled. Let's pretend here that Rick, you're not healthy as you are. You happen to be a paralyzed man. We don't know from the passage whether it's from birth or whether it's happened through an accident, but you need to just lie down here on the ground. And go ahead, have a seat. Nice, very nice, very nice. And some of us care about Rick. Nice. I've seen you do this when I preach before, but at least I can watch you up here. We care about Rick. We want to bring him to Jesus because we know, because of our own encounters as Christ followers, if we can get him with Jesus, who knows what may happen? All things are possible. Now, suppose, look at the video cameras out. Just wait, it's going to get better. Suppose Sarah decided, I want to bring him to Jesus, but Jesus isn't here. Jesus happens to be down at the waterfront. How well do you think Sarah would do carrying Rick down to the waterfront this morning? Not likely. So it says here, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by who? Four men. The first lesson from the stretcher bearers is this, and there's going to be hand signs because we occasionally do that at Walk Through the Bible. Stretcher bearers work together. Say that, please. And take your hands like this, grasp your fingers, and say, stretcher bearers work together. Just get comfortable. You're going to be here for a while. We tend to make spiritual gifts way too complicated. I'm not opposed to spiritual gift inventories. We've used some of them in our church. Chip Ingram, when he was president of Walk Through the Bible, wrote some really good resources on spiritual gifts that I'd recommend to you called God's Divine Design. Very good. But a lot of times with that, what it ends up measuring is past experience. It can measure just natural skills that you're born with. Spiritual gifts are different than that. We make it too complicated. I'd love to serve God, but I don't know what my spiritual gift is. And so we don't do much of anything. And yet those who love us, if we just ask them, they go, I'll tell you what your spiritual gift is. It's this. My wife recognized my gift of teaching long before I saw any such thing in myself. I thought she was nuts, quite frankly. Oftentimes our gifts are more quickly recognized by other people. You don't always need an inventory. You just observe people in action. Let's say your church is having a fellowship dinner, and there in your fellowship hall, churches always serve this radioactive red punch. I don't know why we do it. It's not very smart when you think about it, but it's, a little bit of powder and a whole lot of water, and it still is like, whoa, that will put hair on your chest. And dear Sister Edna is carrying this punch bowl across to the table, and she snags her heel in a little tear because the carpet's been there since Jesus walked the earth, and she snags and whoosh! Watch the spiritual gifts go into action. I mean, those with the service gift, the gift of helps, they're already on their hands and knees, and they're soaking it up. The gift of administration says, we're going to need wet towels, but we're going to need dry towels. A through M, you go get wet towels. N through Z, you get dry towels. Be back here 30 seconds. Ready? Go! The gift of teaching, oh man, people like me, we think we're needed in every situation. Edna. Next time, put the bowl there, take pitchers of water, fill it up, then on the table, add the red punch. Make sense? This really didn't need to happen. Thankfully, we're not the only gift in the body of Christ. The gift of mercy pushes us aside and says, Edna, please stop crying. That could have happened to anybody. You're the only one who is willing to do that. Thank you so much for your service. Spiritual gifts in action. Now, somewhere in the corner, somebody has noticed there's a first-time visitor here watching all this chaos in the church. And this brother has taken the first-time visitor, and he's taken him to the corner, and he says, when I look at that red punch, I cannot help but think of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Have you responded to God shedding His blood for you on the cross? Spiritual gifts in action. Some of you need to go home and pray for a punch spillage so that you can teach on spiritual gifts. Stretcher bearers what? Work together. I'll guarantee you, as this unfolds, one person has a crazy idea. They don't all four have a crazy idea. We'll see that in action in a minute. Well, when they get there, they could not get near him because of the crowd. Normal people like me would be, sorry, Rick, you've waited this long. We'll catch him again next week. He comes through Capernaum fairly frequently. Let's take you back and park you where you were before. There is, in any gathering of people, though, those crazy people of faith, those visionaries, and one of them says, hey, I got an idea. Let's go up on the roof, let's dig through the roof, through the gravel, and let's just lower him down in the middle of the room, and then see what Jesus does. I'll guarantee you, if this is like a normal group in a church, not all four of them thought that was a really good idea. The person with the gift of accounting, is that a gift? My dad was an actuary. He thought it was a gift. He's like, well, I don't know. We don't want to impose. This is not on the agenda for Jesus. And somebody else with people skills goes, I know whose house it is. I'll talk to him. We'll make it right later. Let's go. But the four of him let Jesus down, or let the man down to Jesus. Let's talk about how we work together. Gary, I'm going to need that blanket there for a minute. Would you bring that to me? I think we can illustrate this based on the ministry of the week. Let's say that you are not a big business tycoon. You are instead a police officer who happens to live in Costa Rica. Now, we're going to cheat for a minute. Why don't you roll yourself over onto that blanket there? You heard 13 years ago, Ryan and Gretchen responded to God's call. Why don't you two both come up here? Why don't you grab one of these corners? No, not yet. And they're not there long, and it's great to have Americans go do work around the world. You know when things take off? Things take off when you start investing in nationals. So, mi amigo Ricardo, y Andrea, come here. So, you two take one corner. All right. I should have given you a little more clearance. Thank you for taking the dangerous corner. Yep. You take that corner over there. Now, you two are actually sharing the corners with them. These two corners are vacant. Gretchen, you're... Nope, not those corners. Over here. Nobody has those corners yet. You go help Ryan. He's.
She's helping
in. Yep, these guys are a little weak. Have you noticed that? I will migrate. What about the other corners? Well, you see, I don't think it's coincidence that I ended up here this weekend. I really don't. And part of the reason I'm here, okay, I get to teach God's Word, and that's highly important. But as I've talked to these guys, you know what I found out? They sometimes need materials. And back there on that table and some of the materials that in week 9 you paid to get translated into different languages, they can use some of those materials. They can very definitely use some of those materials. Some of them we've even tested with police officers in Mexico. Now, who but God could work that out, that we all end up here on the same weekend? There's just the odds of that are crazy. Gary has already explained. He called 19 other really good speakers and gave up and finally called me. I've heard him say it 3 times now. And so walk through the Bible, by God's plan, gets to grab a corner of this blanket. What's the other corner? It's what you just did in the offering. Gary, why don't you come up here? Representing Maranatha. You know that Maranatha is not primarily an organization, it's a family. Ellen and I have been here enough times now, we've grasped that. And so all four of these, it's not hard for us to pick up Rick and take him down by the water. Should we try this? Look at that. Turn him around so they can see him. There we go. All right, give these guys a hand. Thank you. Be healed. Stretcher bearers work together, but when they get to there, it's packed out, they can't get in, and so what do? They dig a hole in the roof, and they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. This is the second thing that stretcher bearers do. Stretcher bearers overcome obstacles. Go like that and say, overcome obstacles. I love people of faith. I love ministry entrepreneurs. I'm not one. I'm the third president of Walk Through the Bible, not the founder. I'm an augmenter. I'm an improver. I'm a builder on somebody else's foundation. The majority of us are like that. But stretcher bearers overcome obstacles. They don't see it as a wall. They see it as a hurdle. Let's find our way over this. Problem solvers. Can you picture yourself sitting there? I mean, pretend this really was the house. And you're listening to Jesus. You're on every word. And all of a sudden, you hear a commotion on the roof. You're trying to keep eye contact, but that's not normal. These are some really big rodents, I think, maybe in our walls. And so you glance up, and then all of a sudden, there's a little sand just starts dropping. And there's no place you can go because it's that packed. You try to scoot to the left or the right, but that sand's coming on. All of a sudden, there's a shaft of light that comes down through the roof. Then pretty soon, there's a big hole there. And all of a sudden, you see four faces look down. Scripture doesn't tell us this, okay? I'll bet when we get to heaven and if we ask Jesus, he'd go, well, of course I laughed. I think Jesus had a belly laugh. I do. I think he threw his head back and laughed because he admired the creativity and the problem-solving ability and the love that these people had for their friend who had a need. And I think once Jesus did that, it gave everybody else permission and they just howled in there. And pretty soon it looks like that hole in the roof has been filled. Are they going to stay and listen or aren't they? And all of a sudden something's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. And then they can see over the top of it. It's Rick Warren. Rickius Warrenius was his original name there. And there he is. Stretcher bearers, what do? Work together. You got to do it with me. Stretcher bearers and stretcher bearers overcome obstacles. Watch what happens next. Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. This is the third thing that stretcher bearers do. Stretcher bearers change lives. Go like this and say, change lives. So what's this? Change lives. The grammar here, my wife was an English teacher for many years. She would mark this off because the verb and the noun don't agree. It's an individual, therefore it should be singular. And yet it says when he saw their faith, she'd cross out that pronoun and say his faith. Because we all know that salvation is an individual decision. It's a personal response to what Jesus has done. Well, that's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is to say he wouldn't be there without their faith. No one comes to Jesus by himself or herself. I've shared this message, I don't know, maybe four or five times, all different places. One time a guy came up to me, and at the end he goes, that was a really good message, Phil. Thank you. And he says, I don't want to ruin your message, but he says, I'm an exception to that. And I said, tell me your story. He says, I came to Jesus all by myself. Nobody helped me. And this is not my first rodeo. And I kind of thought, this should be good. I said, tell me your story. He says, well, I was on my third marriage. It wasn't going well. My life was a mess. Successful career. But now all the corners I'd cut were beginning to be discovered. My lack of integrity was starting to manifest at work. And he says, I was on a business trip. And he says, to be perfectly honest, I was considering taking my own life. And he says, I'm there by myself in a hotel room, and he says, I opened up the drawer next to me. I don't even know why I did that. And he goes, somebody had forgotten their Bible there. And he says, it was a weird Bible. He says, it didn't just have the regular Bible stuff in it. It had some things explaining to people in a situation a lot like me what Jesus had done for them, and even directed me to some specific verses. And I said, did that Bible have like, did it look like an old piece of pottery on the front? He goes, yeah, with a circle around it. He goes, how in the world no way, you forgot your Bible there? I'm like, no, God's good, but he doesn't show off that much. I said, did you ever look at where that Bible came from? He goes, no. He goes, in fact, I felt kind of guilty, but I took it. And I said, they would actually be fine with that. It's a group called the Gideons. We have any Gideons here this morning? Yes. Not a fancy ministry, just an effective ministry, because God's word changes lives. And I explained to him about the Gideons, so I said, so you didn't really come to Jesus by yourself. Somebody negotiated with that hotel chain and got permission from their owner and their board for Bibles to be placed there. Oh, wow, I never thought about that. Well, somebody else, you know, raised the money, somebody else gave the money, somebody else paid for that specific Bible, whether they knew it or not. Some people delivered those Bibles. A faithful housekeeper, when they saw your Bible was worn, I'll guarantee you, they put another one from the supply in there the next morning. And I said, by the way, you have anybody in your family who are believers? Well, now I got some. My wife, our marriage is actually doing well now. She can't believe the change in me, and she's trusted Christ as Savior too. I said, what about your extended family? Nope, I got nothing from my parents. Nothing. Anybody in your extended family? He goes, my grandma, till the day she died, grandma just kept saying, I'm still praying for you. He goes, I didn't even like that. That ticked me off. I'm like, I don't need your prayers. I'm doing just fine. She goes, well, I'm still praying for you. By the time where I go, we could go farther. And he goes, I got the point. He goes, see, that's the problem in my life. I think I do everything all by myself. And it's like, always let the counselee draw their own conclusions. That's the best counseling there is. But he got it. We don't come to Jesus by ourselves. Stretcher bearers work together. They overcome obstacles. And ultimately, what we're hoping is they change lives. So Jesus says, because of their faith, because they believed, if they can get their friend to Jesus, anything's possible. And that faith, Jesus rewards. Verse 6, if Paul were on the organ, he would go, bomb, 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 bomb. And we'd go into the minor key suddenly. Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts. Oh, it's not all happy, is it? Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, I have a question. Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take up your bed and walk? How would you answer that question? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk home? How many would say it's easier to say sins are forgiven? Raise your hands. There's a good case for that. You know, we have doctors, we have nurses, we have people who study for a long time to take good care of our physical health. The new hip that I'm going to get installed whenever the surgeon can get around to it, that's great. That surgeon doesn't have the ability to go, Phil, you know, your sins are forgiven. I forgive you. He doesn't have that authority. So yeah, physical healing's easier than spiritual healing. You can build a good case for that. You can also build a case the other way, that it's really easy to say, your sins are forgiven. Easier, in fact, than saying, get up and walk. Why? Because how are you ever going to know? We're not going to know until eternity. And most of us, when we get to eternity, we bought a one-way ticket. We're not coming back with a report. So you can say anything you want about spiritual change, but if you're going to promise physical change, you better have game, or you're going to be exposed pretty quickly as a fraud. In fact, that's how Jesus explains it. I think that is the emphasis here. He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home. This guy just came for physical healing. He gets eternal healing. But I think as excited he is about that, he's probably going, yeah, but it would still be really great to be able to walk too. And Jesus goes, we got a BOGO. We got a buy one, get one today. We're gonna take care of both of those things for you. But the lessons here is, yes, stretcher bearers work together. Say that with me. Stretcher bearers work together. Stretcher bearers. Stretcher bearers. But stretcher bearers also experience opposition. Say, experience opposition. We don't teach on this enough. We don't. I didn't get enough training on this in seminary. I really believed if I just taught God's word faithfully, and if I just don't do anything stupid morally, then everybody in our church is going to like me, and we're going to sing Kumbaya 24/7, 365, and everybody's going to get along. And in that little country town where we landed, where the Hatfields and McCoys have to have taken up residence several generations ago, there was sometimes conflict in our church. There was sometimes criticism of me. And naive little 26-year-old me just about got pushed out of ministry because of that. Man, at 61, I see that a whole lot differently now. Been enough places around the world with Walk Through the Bible, and I've learned from the brothers and sisters in our ministry. We have 25 to 30,000 men and women who actively teach our materials around the world in 130 or so countries. I've heard their testimonies. I've been side by side with them. And you know what they believe? They believe if there's no opposition, they must not be really accomplishing much for God. If there's not some opposition, it means Satan's going, who cares about that? That's not even worth resisting. It's so insignificant and irrelevant to kingdom issues. Stretcher bearers, expect the opposition. There's always going to be the critics. There's always going to be the naysayers. Very seldom are they the ones who've grabbed the corner of the blanket, by the way. Somebody said a long time ago, when a mule is pulling, he can't kick. But if he's kicking, he's not doing much pulling. There's a fifth thing stretcher bearers do. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Scripture is the opposite of hype and exaggeration. In fact, there are some great understatements in Scripture. This is one of them. Hey, Ralph, have you ever seen anything like this at synagogue?
No, Harvey, I haven't. We have never seen anything like this.
You know what that is? That's worship. It's what happened when God sent manna. They'd never seen it before. Church committee gets together. Well, it wasn't the church back then, but it was as bad as most church committees. Well, apparently this is going to be delivered 6 days a week. What are we going to name it? I don't know, it's a little like, you know, the cereal like we left in Egypt that I really missed, you know, those little golden pyramids. Well, we're not going back to Egypt. Well, I looked at it and I went, what is it? That's what I said too. The chairman goes, it's been moved, seconded, how many say we call it? What is it? That's literally what the word manna means. That's worship. When God does something that isn't part of our categories and we step back and we say, wow, we couldn't have done that. That's a confirmed God sighting. Stretcher bearers glorify God. Raise your hands like this. I know who comes to Maranatha. I know you don't do this in most of your churches. Pretend the SWAT guys are here and they told you to. Say, stretcher bearers glorify God. Church I grew up in, you raise your hand, you better have a really good question or the ushers would take you out. Five things stretcher bearers do. Let's review them. Here we go. Stretcher bearers what? Work together. So this little illustration here. You see, that's why it's fun to give. That's why I started to say Ellen and I, but Ellen doesn't know about it yet. That's why we put a check in the offering today. Because we get to invest in these guys who are bringing police officers, other first responders, the opportunity to hear the gospel. You heard what Richard said. It was the first time I ever heard the gospel and realized that it was calling me to a response. You heard about the change that happened in his life. Some of you are going, why don't we wait, take the offering after the message? Maybe we should have. You know what? The great thing here is the offering's still open. You can find Gary, stick something in his pocket. Don't give him cash, okay? He's a good guy, but he is human. All right? You give him cash, at least put it in the envelope so he has to tear the envelope and God's Spirit can... No, you know Gary wouldn't do that. I'm teasing him. Still a little bit bitter about him calling 19 other people before me. But you can turn it in at the front desk. Maybe you can't give now and you go, I'll give by the end of the year. You won't give by the end of the year if you don't put it on an envelope and write it out. So before you even leave the room this morning, please do that. You talk about a group of men and women. They haven't talked about this week, but if Costa Rica's like America, you're talking about one of the highest suicide rates of any profession. You're talking about one of the highest divorce rates. You already heard that from Richard and Andrea this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes that. It keeps them safe. You want to do something tangible to slow the flow of drugs into our country? Then help empower the police officers at one of the sources for that. And more than anything else, you want to give people a chance to become brothers and sisters in Christ and to spend eternity with us. So maybe the offering went by, maybe you did the easy thing and you pulled out a 20, you went, oops, and you went back and you go, okay, there's a 5, good. I've done that so many times. But now you get it. You get it. So let's blow away this goal this week. But then when we leave here, no, the summer is gone, another summer gone by for those of you who are members and spend a lot of time here. Now we got to go back to like real life. You realize real life is where the people live, most of them who need to be brought to Jesus. But I'm afraid I don't know enough verses. I'm afraid I can't answer the question. Hey, if you hang out for any time at Maranatha, you know more than the vast majority of the world's pastors know. So you do know enough. But realize it's not all dependent on you anyway, because why? All you're supposed to do is grasp a corner. All you're supposed to, and you may not even know who it is, but God is moving people around. He's causing somebody to give some money and somebody to put a Gideon Bible and a faithful housekeeper to restock it. And then I was like, man, I don't even know if life's worth living. What's this book? And the guy's on his knees next to the bed. Try it without me, will you? I know these 5 things because I have notes. But do you? Stand up, please. Ryan, come here. I totally know Ryan's ripping off this message, okay? Gretchen's already translated into Spanish. Ask them and show them the 5 things that stretcher bearers... In English, por favor.
All right. So what are the 5 things that stretcher bearers do? Number 1?
Together.
Number 2?
Overcome.
Number 3?
Change.
Number 4?
Opposition.
Number 5? Hands up, you're all under arrest.
Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for a simple story that some would even say is a kid's story. And we acted it out and we illustrated it like we would do with kids. Father, we're just big kids. Our bodies got bigger, but our minds still receive truth the same way. Lord, I do pray that you would send this team from Tactica back to Costa Rica with resources that exceed what they were even hoping for. And Lord, as we all return to our homes, may we believe that you are just as much God back in Lansing or in Normal, Illinois or in Atlanta, Georgia, as you are right here at Maranatha. And may we look to say, who do you want me to help bring people to Jesus Christ? Because, Lord, it is still true. If there can be that face-to-face encounter with Jesus, then anything is possible, both in terms of this life and even more importantly, in terms of eternity. It is in the awesome name of Jesus Christ, the hero of this story, that we pray. Amen.